Bring greetings this morning in Jesus' name. And welcome to each and every one here. Welcome to our visitors. Glad to have you here. Not sure how it happened that I have got to preach Mother's Day and Father's Day this year. But I think next year we'll try to rearrange some of this stuff that some of the others would get a chance to speak as well. So this morning is Father's Day, and I don't know what goes through your mind when you think of Father's Day. You know, there's many things that happen or could happen. Maybe a special meal, maybe a special time, maybe special cards being given, messages flying here and there, Happy Father's Day. And, you know, that's good. It reminds us of our responsibility, our calling, our the things that God has given us as males, fathers, to do. Now, I realize not everybody here is a father. But you are still, even if you're not a father, you are still called to be a leader. Yesterday, I read an article. A secular writer, Frank Minter, I think is his name, wrote this. He said, Father's Day is, at its essence, a celebration of what all fathers do as protectors, providers, enforcers of codes of conduct. A father is, at his best, a benevolent but formidable mentor to his children and a strong partner to his wife. Strong fathers know there is an actual right and wrong, and they raise their children by these complex but very real values. This is why we celebrate Father's Day. We are heralding what honorable men bring to families and then to American society as a force of strength and stability. Even the world recognizes the importance of a father figure. And they especially recognize the importance, or maybe I should say we especially recognize the importance of a Christian father figure in the home. Now, some statistics about fathers that I saw this morning, and maybe some of you saw this as well, and I understand statistics, if I can say it right, can be kind of biased depending on the questions asked and not asked. And these statistics don't always tell the whole story. But nevertheless, fathers, according to scriptures, are God's plan in the home. And the devil knows that if he can get the father, half or more of the battle is won. Now, these are some of the statistics that I read. There are over 18 million fatherless children in the U.S. Now, that is not saying they never had a dad. They don't have a father figure in their life. 18 million children. Fathers are absent from approximately 80% of single-parent homes. Fatherless families are four times more likely to live in poverty than that for married couples' family. Fatherless children are more likely to abuse drugs, to show signs of delinquent behavior. Children from single-parent families are twice as likely to suffer from mental health problems as those living with married parents. Data suggests that 84% of homeless families are headed by women, and 90% of homeless and runaway children come from fatherless homes. 63% of suicides are from fatherless homes. 85% of children who exhibit behavior disorders are from fatherless homes. 70% of juveniles in state-operated institutions come from single-parent homes. Most adolescents who enter the justice system have suffered from parental abandonment, substance abuse, or dysfunctional household. In a study of 75 juvenile delinquents, now this was a study for 75 people, 66% experienced fatherlessness, 20% had never lived with their father, and 25% had an alcoholic father. Just a couple more. Girls who feel closeness to their father are 75% less likely to have a teen birth. One study showed girls whose father left the home before they were 5 years old were 8 times more likely to become pregnant as adolescents. Children who feel closeness to their parents, to their fathers, are 80% less likely to spend time in jail. When children have an actively involved father, they are 33% less likely to drop out of school, and 43% more likely to get AIDS. Children in single-parent homes are more likely to have low self-esteem, depression, anxiety, and more suicidal thoughts and attempts. According to the data collected by Promise Keepers and Baptist Press, if a father does not go to church, even if his wife does, only one child in 50 will become a regular worshiper. If a father does go regularly, regardless of what the mother does, between 2/3 and 3/4 of their children will attend church as adults. Another survey found that if a child is the first person in the household to become Christians, to become a Christian, there is a 3 to 5 or 3.5% probability everyone else in the household will follow. If the mother is the first to become a Christian, there is a 17% probability everyone else in the household will follow. However, when a father is first, there is a 93% probability everyone else in the household will follow. Is the father important this morning? It is God's design that we have complete homes. Now, I realize we have homes that the father passes away. That's not the homes we're talking about. It's when the father is delinquent. That's the home. That's the problem we're talking about. In the home I grew up, most of my life at home was without a father, because he passed away when I was 11. And yet God is able, and I think he was very able, to meet the needs of the family. But when we choose to walk away from God and walk away from our families, that's when the families suffer. So again, I ask the question, are the fathers important? Does it matter what we do? Does it matter how we act? Does it matter what we say? Does it matter if what is, you know, does it matter what is important to us? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 gives us one verse. And it says, "Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Now, the Amplified Bible puts in a lot more words. And it says this, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Do not exasperate them to the point of resentment with demands that are trivial, unreasonable, humiliating, or abusive, nor by showing favoritism or indifference to any of them. But bring them up tenderly with loving kindness in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." You know, when I look at this verse, I see a father that has a love for his family and a desire to present them holy before God. It says, bring them up. He is not there to just let them be children and not give direction. He is there to bring them up, to show direction, to give them instruction, how to live in the Lord. Deuteronomy 6, verse 6 through 9 says this, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and upon thy gates." These verses are directed to us as fathers specifically. You know, it doesn't say what age these children are, but I think it would be understood that this applies to those still living at home, under your roof, under my roof. I realize that when children leave home, that they largely are adults. They largely are responsible for their own choices. I'm not saying that we as parents, when our children leave home, that we have no influence on them at all, not at all. But we have to let them establish their own home. We may be able to give some direction. We may, if they ask, sometimes maybe if they don't ask. But we are largely realized that that arrow has been shot. So we bring them up when we have opportunity. When they are under our roof, it says, bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We rear them, I guess is the way to say that, to maturity. We train them to know right from wrong, to educate them, to cultivate in them the ability to think through and make choices that will be a blessing to them rather than a drag or a regret. It also would give the idea that we have a burden for our young men and women, our children, our families. We have a burden as a parent, as a father, to show them the way of truth, the way of God. We don't just turn them loose when they are 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, and let them figure out life by themselves. We don't do that. We give direction. You know, we help them navigate life, and we don't just let them live life and find out for themselves, to figure it out, life out by themselves. You know, we don't just sit back and let them sort out life, as it were. Much rather, as fathers, we understand that our children don't need to reinvent the wheel. I don't know how many of you remember that from I think Charles Hamilton, when he was here, he made that statement, and I never had heard that before too. We don't depend on our children to reinvent the wheel. We don't expect our children to figure out life. The things that we have learned, we want to pass on to them and to show them, to teach them. And again, I know that we can't teach them. Yes, we can teach, but we can't make them accept and not repeat our own mistakes. We can't do that. But if we are quiet and just let them turn out and figure it out, they're going to have a life of regret, because they are making mistakes that they possibly wouldn't make if we as parents, as fathers, would just take the opportunity to teach. And I also know that our children, ever since they're born on up into the 20s and maybe even 30s, they are learning. We all learn. We continue to learn. You know, I never knew what it is to be a grandpa until I was a grandpa. And I never knew what it was to be a parent until I had a child. I well remember the first time that my daughter, oldest daughter, was born, and I thought, what in the world just happened? Here, I am now responsible for this little girl. I have to teach, to train, to... I brought this child into this life. And I became responsible. And I had never done this before. Neither have you until your first child was born. But that child, and all children that are born, as they are born, they start learning. They start learning. They experience new things. And it seems like, especially after about 10 to 12, in the teens and on up into even into the 20s, it seems they're experiencing changes in their lives and confronted with all kinds of temptations, all kinds of new things and choices and opportunities that they must make that will set kind of the course for their life, the direction. Choices that they never experienced before. You know, unless we as fathers step in and give some guidance, give some direction, they will be fascinated, intrigued, and overtaken with things that Satan desires to offer to us. I'm impressed this morning as I look at the relationship between God and God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son. You know, even though Jesus Christ was perfect God and perfect man, the Father didn't send Jesus down on the earth and let him figure out life by himself. He didn't do that. According to the testimony of Christ, God communicated his will to Jesus Christ while he lived on the earth, and in turn, Jesus was very concerned that he follows and does the will of his Father. Turn to John chapter 5. We'll read two verses there. John chapter 5. You know, we could say that Jesus was just, he was perfect God. He knew the will of God. He knew, God the Father didn't have to tell him anything. Well, that's not what Scripture tells us. John chapter 5, verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that he himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. So the Father showed his will to Jesus, and then Jesus in turn showed the Father's will to his followers. John chapter 8, not another couple verses. Verse 28, John 8, 28. Then said Jesus unto them, When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always the things that please him. The Father hath not left me alone. The Father hath given, has communicated his instructions to Jesus Christ. And when Jesus, if Jesus Christ needed the instruction and input of his Father, how much more do we? We cannot dare, we dare not sit back and just with an unconcerned ho-hum attitude think that our boys and our girls, our children, will figure it out. And remember, so many times, like it says here that Jesus did, he said, what he seeth the Father do, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For who, what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Have you ever noticed that your children imitate you? Yeah, they do. And sometimes it's not so pleasant to see that imitation. But that's what Jesus was doing. He was imitating the Father because there was input from the Father into his life. That's our responsibility. We need to give direction to our boys and our girls that they know how to act, what to do and what not to do, what to say and not to say. And again, remember in verse 29 of chapter 8, he says, The Father hath not left me alone. He hath given me of himself. So, just a couple of thoughts here, how we can be an influence to our children. Be willing to communicate biblical truth to our children. Show and tell. You know, we have, sometimes we have show and tell in school. maybe we should just simply have a day of show and tell in our homes. But more importantly, let's have show and tell all the time in our spiritual life. Show your faith by your life's example, but don't try to shy away from using words too. You know, sometimes we do well in communicating our business model, our business goals, and our boys, if they work long enough, they have they get a grasp of what we want. They get a grasp of how to do things. May we be just as faithful in showing our children, our boys, how to act like a Christian father or a Christian man. Be concerned. Lead by example. Number two, lead by example. You know, our children will learn best when they observe their father's living, breathing faith in action. Again, I'd like to point you back to Jesus Christ, what he said. He said, "For whatsoever things God doeth, these also doeth the Son." Lead by example. Be willing to establish scriptural practical rules and guidelines for your home. You know, sometimes we struggle in this area. Sometimes we struggle with the scriptural. Sometimes we struggle with the practical. Let's be dads that are consistent. And again, I know that we are living life and we are inconsistent at times. But if you want to raise children who will rebel against you, their parents, and reject God, have the mentality that you as a father are exempt from your own guidelines. You can live the way you want to, but they can't. Be an example. It is awkward and ineffectual to require something of your children that I as a parent am unwilling to uphold and do myself. Number four, be willing to protect them from evil and put some boundaries in place. Boundaries in friends, gadgets, exposure to all the attractions that this old world has to offer. You know, the other night we were talking about internet. And I think this is a place that we all struggle in. It all fascinates us, maybe some more than others. You know, all the apps and all the social media, all the things that is out there, some of it may be useful to a degree, but all have a tremendous, a potential to be a terrific time waster. Just taking our time away from our families, our Bible study, our relationship with God, relationship with our fellow man, our children. Just, we are so involved in our attraction that we miss some of the things that are going on right here among us. If we're not careful, these things will steal our heart and affection. You know, electronics can be a tremendous attraction to children and older humans as well. If you don't believe this, pull out a cell phone and see what happens with the little children. They immediately gather around you and crane their necks. They're jockeying for position to see what's in, you know, what's on this phone. I don't remember where I was. I was somewhere. And I think I was on my computer doing work, my business. It was just, the screen was full of writing. And wherever this was, I don't even remember where it was, the little child came up and he craned his neck to see what was there. As soon as he saw all the writing, he lost interest and left. You know, the writing is just like a book to them. They don't care. But when there's moving pictures, they're right there and they stay there. Be careful. There's a fascination there that will not leave them. Let's, as a dad, as a father, let's protect our children. Let's understand that the things that fascinate me will fascinate my children. And then you can't tell them as a father, you can't tell them that you can't spend all this time on here if you as a father spend all that time on it. Now, again, I'm not talking about work. I'm talking about just looking. Number five, be willing to ask questions of your children. You know, one thing that is easy to forget is to dig into their answers. Dig into their heart and mind. Find out what they mean when they say that they're struggling, that they maybe have a struggle in a certain area. Find out what they mean. Dig into it. Be a dad and be concerned. Don't just let them figure it out. Don't let them just hang and figure life out by themselves. Don't wait till they come to you as a parent, but go to them. Ask. Find out what's going on in their heart. You know, they may be struggling with shame, remorse, or they may be enjoying the pleasures of Egypt and need a wake-up call. Be willing to ask hard questions and be willing to answer hard questions. Number six, be willing to be a father and a mentor, and mentor them. Be a friend, yes, to your children, but be a mentor as well. Help them to see that life is not just all smiles and pleasant things, but it's serious. Listen to what they're saying. Listen, and I don't remember where I heard this expression, but listen to understand rather than listening to reply. Maybe that was last Sunday. I don't remember where I heard that one. But listen to understand rather than to figure out what you're going to say back. Number eight, the last one, be quick to admit your mistakes and ask for forgiveness of those you did wrong. Or you have wronged. You know, I have never seen a situation where the father is vulnerable and is willing to humble himself to his family, that he lost the respect of his family because of that. But the opposite is very true. A proud, unbending father will invariably lose the respect of his family. Be quick to admit your mistakes and ask for forgiveness. So this morning, may we as fathers rise to the challenge and guide our family in the Lord's way, walking therein with singleness of heart and gladness in serving the Lord. Again, in closing, I'd like to read Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. May that be our desire, may that be our goal, and may we find our help in the Lord, because we by ourselves cannot do this. Let's kneel for prayer.